What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It is Friday, March 27th, 2020. This is the Wrestling Inc. podcast. I'm Glenn Rubenstein, joined by Justin LaBarre and Matt Morgan, here to talk about SmackDown under the shadow today of what we've learned about WrestleMania. Now, we've been adamant about talking about no WrestleMania spoilers. Let me just make it clear that when I have put that on my Twitter feed and said that on this podcast, because Mania is pre-taped, that what we meant by that is we're not going to spoil the ending to matches. We won't spoil surprise returns, where matches are taking place, or any details about the production that have leaked out to the matches themselves. That being said, tonight's episode of SmackDown was taped a few days ago. There have been some changes that are going to be addressed in upcoming WWE programming about some people that won't be participating in WrestleMania matches, perhaps because of health concerns or quarantine or logistics. So if you want to remain unspoiled about those plans, you may want to skip this podcast. Because we talked about this ahead of time, Matt. I don't know if you've seen these stories, but it feels disingenuous to our audience to talk about some of what happened tonight. Like, oh, and we're going to find out what happens next with this match when the news is all over the place about some of these matches being changed.
Okay.
Yeah. So I just want to give people fair warning. Do we want to start with the news, or do we want to go through the show and address these changes as they come up?
I say address them as they come up.
Okay. So we started tonight's show with...
Why not just... Hello? Why not start it off with the news? That way we don't have to talk about stupid shit that nobody wants to hear about and has no matter to anything.
So we're, okay. Then we're definitely going to be skipping some stuff tonight on SmackDown that is irrelevant. But seriously. Okay. So again, if you want to remain unspoiled, turn off now. Cover your ears. You've had fair warning. Roman Reigns. What's the story about him in WrestleMania, Justin?
Roman Reigns, it's being reported, it was first reported by Ryan Satin of Pro Wrestling Sheet that Roman Reigns is not going to be taking part in WrestleMania in his title match against Goldberg. Obviously, Roman, who has beaten leukemia twice, his health could be compromised easier than others with what's going on with the COVID-19. So Roman Reigns is not going to be taking on Goldberg, as how we understand it. As you said a minute ago, the SmackDown that we saw tonight, seems like it took place prior to the decision being made by Roman, by WWE, by both. So Roman Reigns is not going to take on Goldberg. So that's the biggest of the dominoes that are falling right now.
Okay, Matt Morgan. So Matt, Roman not taking on Goldberg. I guess your reaction on that. I mean, obviously smart for Roman on his health, but how do you think this impacts a major Mania match?
I don't think it does, because this is not a major Mania, unfortunately, anymore. They should have really postponed this in retrospect. I know it gives us things to watch, you know, next weekend for 2 days, right?
But
I still think they're missing their mark on this by not postponing it and doing this the right way when they get the opportunity to. That's my 2 cents, though.
Is it public knowledge, Justin, the replacement for Roman, or is it all just speculation?
It's not public knowledge. No, it's right at this point. I've heard some things, but at this point, it has not been public knowledge.
Matt Morgan, who would you have faced Goldberg at WrestleMania?
Braun Strowman, and he wins the title. It's going to happen. It's finally going to make sense for the poor guy. He's going to win it. It's happening. And I don't know any spoilers. I'm just thinking what would add up. I could see them saying, let's just give it to him. It's not in a stadium. It's not in front of millions of people. You know, like almost like a backhanded compliment in a way. But who cares, just as long as the big guy finally gets his opportunity.
Yeah, I agree. I also think it will be Braun Strowman. It should be Braun Strowman. You know, and the crazy thing about this is that, you know, whoever you would plug in this match is essentially who you're handing the title off to, because this match was not made for Goldberg to win it. This was Goldberg being an attraction for a short time as he's good in these short spurts. I would definitely go with Braun, just as Matt said. It makes the most sense. Braun not only is a guy who should have won it 3 years ago, but he's also the biggest name they have who really hadn't had anything, they hadn't committed anything for Mania for him. So he's out there. It's not like you have to pull him out of another match. So it makes perfect sense.
If Goldberg were gonna win, saying Matt Riddle, this writes itself. Have them face off. Riddle gets squashed. Goldberg retains. Get a lot of buzz.
It would get a lot of buzz. The other thing, I've heard the rumors of people online in my comment sections on Twitter basically saying a three-way with Cena and the Bray Wyatt for the title. But then you, instead of having two huge matches, you really don't have the one. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, and as we'll get to later when we do get to the point of reviewing SmackDown, it seems obvious that Vince does not want the supernatural characters like The Undertaker and now like The Fiend to be in that empty arena setting having a match, which that's not going to happen as we've come to find out now tonight with the Bray Wyatt match. So, which I think is a good call, because I think you can lose a lot of mystique having those two supernatural characters. All the smoke and mirrors can only go so far in that production and that setting. So, I saw the same thing, Matt, but I don't like that idea of having a triple threat. I'd rather them just go ahead and plug a guy like Braun in and make him.
Yeah.
Quick thanks to Jay Lane, $5 super chat, saying, at the market, I saw some lady with her head buried and her phone bump into this older man. I have nothing to say about SmackDown. I just wanted to donate. Thank you, Jay Lane. We appreciate it. Raj Geary appreciates it. I'm going to text him and tell him to rent Goonies tonight. We've more than covered that rental fee, and he owes us a full report on Monday night's podcast.
Speaking of fee.
Why are we trying to help him so much to watch cool movies?
Seriously, I don't know.
We're doing him a service, and we're doing his show for him while he's drinking pina colada somewhere with Ryback right now. And we're doing his show for him that he's not even watching. And on top of it, you're naming movie recommendations to him, Glenn.
Yes, Matt. We're naming movie recommendations because Ryback said, Ryback asked us, hey, have Raj up the movie game. You know, we're doing a lot of Netflix and chilling these days in quarantine, and I want to watch something more interesting. So
I knew you were going there. I thought you were going to say cuddling and spooning one another on Friday nights, but nonetheless, that was very well done, though. Yes. We say this all in jest. We love our Raj Geary, but I love making fun of him even more.
But let me just say this, Matt. Money is good, but could you imagine now if you hadn't seen Goonies and someone's like, Matt, dude, you got to watch Goonies? That's like the best gift of all. Like a really good movie recommendation.
That's what I'm saying. I just got done saying he's making us do his show while he's chilling. And on top of it, you're giving him movie recommendations, trying to raise money for the guy to watch it. Only thing that's left is you cooking him dinner.
Hey, that might be what it takes, Matt. I might have to, you know.
Cut his grass while you're at it.
I should recommend bad movies. You'd be like, everybody give Raj $20.
Yes.
And he should watch The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
Yes.
Now, I have never seen this movie, but I have been told the pants aren't a metaphor. There's actually a pair of pants that travels between girls.
I watched it. Oh, yeah. I watched the whole thing. I will admit it. I watched the whole thing.
I mean, terrible. Good?
I don't know what I was thinking in retrospect now that I think back, but I swear to God I watched it. And you're right. Matt, real pants.
It's because you're married, Matt. That's why.
No, wait. People need a distraction.
I've been there.
From the world we live in, Matt. Paint the scene for me where Matt Morgan, legit 7 feet tall, monster, American gladiator, where he sat down and watched Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. I want the scenario. I want the story.
P.S. That is literally the most masculine Glenn has ever built me up in this show's history, other than little flirtations of calling me cute here and there and adorable when I say something. So I'll take the huge masculine buildup you just gave me. Thank you. Let's see. Cypress Point was the name of the apartment complex I lived in. It was in Louisville, Kentucky. I want to say I was in OVW.
Wow.
It was early in me and my wife's relationship, that's for sure. I know that much.
Gotcha. So it was a date night with the wife. It wasn't like you and Brock Lesnar like hanging out in the tour bus.
All right, Brock, jig is up. Yes, it was me and Brock Lesnar.
Could you imagine that? You're flipping channels and that comes on, and then you're like, oh, this is dumb.
I get it.
Yeah, I'm totally going to flip the channel. No, I'm going to totally flip the channel. And by the end of it, you're just crying and like hugging each other, just enthralled with this film.
No, I'm clicking through the channels and we go past it and I get a dead arm and I drop the remote. I have to pick it back up. He goes, put this shit back on. And totally bullies me into watching it.
Brad Stevens at $4.99 saying Matt Morgan reviews Hallmark Channel movies equals money.
I'll tell you what, what was the name of that guy, Brad? If WWE and AEW start going dark, we might have to do that just to fill the time.
Yeah, man, we do need to think about doing some different, like, old school matches, man. We talk about it. We should ask Raj about that because enough fans have asked about it.
I agree. I think we should definitely do the Survivor Series match with you in it. I think the team Lesnar.
No, don't.
Why?
Oh, look, I can tell you about the buildup of how we got. Okay, yeah.
I think
when we do get Ryback on the show, aside from extensively talking about Raj back and their bromance, I think Tough Enough, both your experience and Ryback's experience, would be fantastic.
How did me and him not even talk about that? Oh, my God. That's wild. Yeah. Me and him didn't even talk about that. I forgot he did. Tough Enough, I bet you he forgot I did, too, like most of America. But that's what we both did.
No, I think that'd be great. Speaking of movies, again, to get America's mind off of what we're dealing with now, did you see that trailer for that movie, The Main Event, that's like Mike, but with wrestling and NXT?
No.
Yeah.
Yes.
Explain it.
A kid finds a magical luchador mask that gives him super speed and super strength, and he enters like a WWE tournament to become a superstar, and it's got NXT talent. It premieres on Netflix in like a week or two.
Yeah. Wow, that's awesome. That sounds great, actually.
The trailer, at first I was like, what's this? And by the end I was like, oh yeah, this is getting added to my queue. I'm watching this.
Hopefully the guys and gals got a payday for it.
Yeah, I think Otis is in it, and there was some other talent. So, cool. Looking forward to it. So, back to Mania, some other changes. What else do we know?
It seems as well that The Miz is not going to be taking part in Mania. And, of course, again, that is that's counter to what you saw tonight as SmackDown went off the air with the focus on the tag team titles. So, The Miz, so no word yet there what they're going to do. I guess we'll find out again in the next week.
Why? Because of fly, he can't fly from California, I'm guessing?
No, Miz is actually in Florida. He's been in Florida. It's kind of unknown if this is his precaution, not feeling comfortable, if he's felt some symptoms. But no, he's actually in Florida. I thought the same thing.
For the record, I respect every one of them who, for whatever reason, is not comfortable doing this because they're literally the CDC, PS, Centers for Disease Control, are telling people 6 feet apart. And to put this in perspective, this virus is this coronavirus is the size of it, the microns of it, all right, is so small. People doing this and covering their shirts, with the mouth of the shirt, that doesn't do anything. Like, for instance, SARS, West Nile virus, and those other ones in the past, it was a little bit thicker, so therefore it wouldn't go through like a cloth item like this. But the coronavirus, that's why it's so damn contagious, is because it does. Only like certain masks will fully cover this thing. So to not want to wrestle another human being is fully, fully understandable. And I respect anybody that makes that decision.
Yeah. Well, and I do have to point out, as many others have, the short-sightedness of WWE. Roman and Goldberg were in the building together last Friday for SmackDown, face-to-face. Why did they not pre-tape this match and start pre-taping Mania sooner?
That's a good question. I don't have an answer.
I don't know. It's been 2 weeks. Tonight was third SmackDown with no audience. It's just crazy to me how they've handled this.
To be fair, at the time, you know, especially like over a week ago, this sucker was moving 100 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. And every day felt, to me at least, as a city leader, completely new, completely different.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe they thought, you know, like glass half full, that, hey, maybe this is being exaggerated and maybe we'll get through it quicker than everyone thinks. I don't know what they were thinking, but.
Yeah.
Or maybe Goldberg says, I'm not ready right now. I'm not ready to go. I need another week of training. I don't know.
Yeah, it's not going to be a long match. As someone in the chat's pointing out, like Donald Anise is saying, yeah, the match would be 4 minutes. Like, they could have shot this during a commercial break for SmackDown with these two.
How would it be? Just ding, ding, Roman Reigns jumps in the air and does Superman punch? That's it?
I mean, does it need to be much
more? That's feasible. No, you're right. That's feasible. Yeah. With these big matches with Brock, Goldberg, I would throw Roman in that category of big hitters that hit big enough power moves that they could win and catch somebody off guard quick enough for a win like that. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Goldberg does a couple spears, jackhammers. Roman seems down and out. Then he has a comeback. Boom, wins. Really short, sweet, and to the point. Holds up the belt. Confetti falls to an empty arena. Yeah, I know. It's going to be weird. Carlos Lee with the Super Chat, $6.99, saying, if you're willing, I'd love you to review Sunday's WrestleMania 32. This was the first one I attended. Curious to hear your thoughts and opinions compared to mine. I don't think Sunday, but I think we're going to look. We're definitely going to have to figure out some contingency plans if WWE programming is altered as a result. You know, an ability to talk about it. I mean, I just think right now, I mean, to be honest with you, Carlos, it's between Matt's schedule and running Longwood, Justin, you know, obviously you live and breathe this stuff all the time in addition to your day job and family obligations. And with mine, I'm open to doing more podcasts, but I think right now we aren't committed to doing any additional programming. But next week we are going to have Saturday and Sunday, both nights in WrestleMania. We'll be here.
And by the way, with both nights of Mania, I noticed this. Obviously, you can hear it on commentary tonight. They are pushing call your cable provider or satellite provider first, and then they go, and oh, by the way, you can also watch on the WWE networks. They're definitely hoping to get some pay-per-view buys to get some revenue out of this. And I noticed, if you at least for Comcast, if you go on the Comcast On Demand, Saturday, night one of WrestleMania is listed as $39.99 plus taxes. Sunday is listed as $59.99.
Huh.
So $40 for one night, $60 for another. So maybe an indication they're going to heavy load Sunday more so than Saturday.
Weird.
I mean, they can run house shows. They've got to find a way to make some money back. I don't blame them.
Yeah. Another change, while we're going through the changes, this one is not related to the coronavirus, but United States champion Andrade, he has been pulled from WrestleMania 36, according to PW Insider. This due to a injury that he suffered on one of the Raw tapings recently, a rib injury. So they are going to be replacing him. So that was going to be him teaming with Angel Garza to go up against the Street Profits. Now I believe it looks like they're going to replace Andrade with Austin Theory from NXT.
Austin Theory, who just got beat by Tyler Breeze, correct, is now getting a WrestleMania match.
Correct.
Huh. Good for him. Right. Leon R. Superstar with £4.99. Did WWE miss the mark by not making this a fight against COVID event and raise some cash to support our health services who are busting their asses? It does seem...
Yes.
Yeah, I just don't think they want to address it. They'll make jokes like tonight about social distancing, but they still haven't said COVID-19 or coronavirus.
I'm not saying this to knock them. I'm just saying it because they have such a special role that nobody else can play at times. Even other celebrities, I would argue, because wrestlers are superheroes. They just are. And they have opportunities to be doing PSAs. I got called by a really, really world, not just state of Florida, but world-renowned doctor that hit me up and asked me to contact WWE to see if they'd be interested in doing any PSAs.
Yeah.
Actually, to raise awareness for, let's say, a shortage of masks that are happening or other things like that to help raise money to be able to go out and get them and things like that at the time, because at the time we didn't know what the country was going to do for that shortage at the time. But things like that. But yeah, you're right. They don't, whatever reason, they don't want anything to say, they don't want anything to do with saying it. And I get why as well. They're doing it to get our minds off of it to some degree, while entertaining us. I respect that too. But, yeah. I don't know, man. I know I kind of just contradicted myself there, but yeah.
No, it's tough. I mean, it's funny. Mark saying they should do some social distancing matches like Joey Janela did. I was thinking about Damian Sandow as Mizdow when he was doing the shadow wrestling. I could almost see someone like him and a Daniel Bryan doing a 6 feet apart match with the guys reacting to the other one's moves. But that's the thing is, like, I think humor is the only way they're going to address the situation. I mean, they didn't even do that Braun Strowman wash your hands promo on TV. That was just on Twitter and like shot backstage.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. There's some missed opportunities here per se.
Yeah. You know,
but like, the whole, look at it this way though too, the whole world knows what's going on. They're hearing about it 22 hours the rest of their day. Here's the 2 hours WWE is trying to be the one place you don't have to hear about this stuff.
Yeah,
maybe,
although I don't know, I'm sure there's a lot of people that watch WWE programming who are not like high information citizens, you know what I mean? Like, they're not the people that are watching cable news.
You can't, even if you are, you cannot escape this one. No way, Brian.
Yeah,
it's everywhere, every channel.
That's true. I mean, I guess you can't avoid it.
Most people can't, you know, do anything. They're not at work, they can't leave their home, even in certain places. And, you know, so yeah, it's unavoidable.
Although I tried something today, and Matt, you can't do this, but I recommend this to people. If you're overwhelmed by what's going on, as I've said to people, I almost want to hire someone else in my business just to free up some time so I can curl up in a fetal position and contemplate the nightmarish hellscape that we live in. Because it's so overwhelming. I will say this today. I don't watch the news at all with the attitude that I'm not going to look at the news. And you know what? If something important happens, I'm going to hear about it, but I'm just going to do the best I can. Self-isolating, social distancing, because when you plug into it all, look, once you've done that, like, and once your family has done that and your friends have done that, you're just going to drive yourself mad paying attention to everything that's going on right now.
And drive yourself mad about something that you ultimately have no control over. You can try to keep, you can do social distancing and stay healthy, but you can't, like, you're not, none of the three of us are going to find the vaccine. You know, I mean, like, it.
Yeah, I mean, you could donate to charities, you could definitely support people in need, but I think at the same time, cable news, and I don't care what side you're on, cable news is in the business of taking one story and stretching it out into a 24-hour news cycle, and in doing that, it's not that they overhype it, but you don't want to live in that 24-hour news cycle. I think you can get your information in more condensed, easy-to-digest places and not stress out about it unnecessarily sometimes. Take precautions, but don't worry yourself. Back to tonight and Mania, though. So are there any other changes? We know Rey Mysterio is going to be out of Mania. He's in quarantine. Dana Brooke, who was not represented in tonight's opening segment for the SmackDown Women's title match, Dana Brooke is in quarantine. She will not be involved in WrestleMania. And I'm sure there will be more. I think this is going to be people, even Raj Giri did this thing. I don't know why they're just not canceling it on Twitter. I love that they're going on with the show, but this is going to be an unpredictable WrestleMania. And that's why we're not talking about replacements. We're not talking about spoilers, but just know that you're in for a surprise when you tune in to this show, potentially up until it airs. I don't think we're going to get a lot of stuff spoiled.
Yeah.
So we did open tonight SmackDown from the Performance Center. We had Sasha and Bayley come out. this was an interesting promo. They're back and forth talking about Mania, building it up, having some banter before being interrupted by Lacey Evans, then interrupted by Naomi. Bayley even saying, oh, great, this is one of those times when we keep getting interrupted and somebody's music hits and they come out. I liked that it was sort of meta. And then Tamina coming out. Tamina on the mic. How long has that been? What did you think of this promo segment, Matt?
I thought that, believe it or not, the part that was supposed to be really important, and that was Sasha's registering and facials and body language when Bayley, you know, was like, hey, you got my back, you know?
Yeah.
That whole thing that didn't do it for me. And in her defense, it is an empty arena, which makes it a little bit harder. But still, she should have still nailed that, because that is the impetus of this whole entire match, in my opinion, is what's going to happen, you know, if it comes down to Sasha and Bayley, or is Sasha going to go for the title and not be her best buddy in the match? That was a real big opportunity to turn that page.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest takeaway I had actually from the opening segment, it was, you know, Tamina looked pretty tough, and she needed to, because she's the one that's being coming out of left field here. We haven't seen much of her, and, you know, so she comes out, vicious headbutt, does some ass kicking. So, I mean, I guess good on that part. They at least caught you up to speed on who this Tamina is. But yeah, but to Matt's point, I don't know if that was supposed to be the number one takeaway, but that was what it was for me.
I liked how they built up the Sasha and Bayley stuff. That was good. Man, I was trying to wrap my head around this, though. Is it the audio part that's not working for me with some of this? I feel like maybe if they put some background music in. I mean, we watch shows like Glow, right? I was thinking about this during the opening segment. We watch shows like Glow, which has women's wrestling, to an empty audience a lot of the time, or TV taping. I mean, Glow, you see like rehearsals. You see scenes with wrestling and not an audience. But maybe there's like music, there's score underneath it. Why does it seem so much more awkward sometimes? Like when they were going up the ramp, like, yeah, and I'll see you in Mania. Yeah, like they keep talking. It just seems weird to not have the crowd. I don't know. Something about it still isn't quite clicking for me. It's getting better, but it's the audio part that seems off. Like it's missing some noise. You know, I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's why they keep throwing guest commentators out there to try to add more noise and more banter, you know? Cause yeah, you're right. It is hollow. When you start hearing the echoes of Michael Cole's voice in the building, it brings you back to remind you're in this empty arena.
Or even Nikki Cross when she was making those noises on commentary. They should just have someone out there humming, doing something. Sing, you know, like have Elias out there sing a song during the goddamn match. Do something to just make it not seem so dry. Shinsuke Nakamura versus Drew Gulak. A match that, yeah, I mean, what can you say? Like, this was really good, right?
Yes, this was excellent. Excellent match. I liked it.
Yeah, Drew Gulak's I'm glad they're finally starting to use him some more, because he is a both in the ring, and the guy's got a character for days. So I think this is good to see that he's getting some time. It definitely feels like what we're seeing on screen is a reflection maybe behind the scenes that he's a guy that Daniel Bryan's like saying to Vince and saying to the top. Yeah, like you gotta give this guy some time.
Good.
Yeah, he won from Nakamura, so he's going to face Sami Zayn at WrestleMania for the Intercontinental Championship. Or Daniel Bryan is, because Gulak won. So yeah, Daniel Bryan versus Sami Zayn for the IC title. Man, I mean, that's going to be awesome if they do it as a straightforward match and there's no interference or chicanery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be off the chain good. Yeah, hell yeah.
Yep. We have more about Dolph Ziggler and Otis and Mandy. I don't know. Matt, are you still invested in the storyline?
I don't know. That's awesome. No, that bad boy jumped the shark. The very next week after he threw the roses down on the ground in disgust and his heart broken, and like, didn't like 3 weeks go by before he finally like cornered her to talk to her about it?
Yeah. Yeah. It was so,
okay, so during one of those weeks that's when it died for me, on one of those weeks.
How about I tweeted this earlier tonight. This is crazy to think about. I didn't really, I had to really fact check this, but it's true. This is going to be Dolph Ziggler's first one-on-one singles match at a WrestleMania ever, and it's going to be in front of an empty arena. He has never had a singles WrestleMania match. He has been in a million Team Johnny versus Team Teddy, or, you know, 10-man tags, 6-man ladder matches for the Intercontinental title. He has never had a one-on-one singles WrestleMania match ever, Dolph Ziggler. And this is going to be his first one, and it's going to be at the Empty Performance Center.
Do we know how greatly their paychecks are going to be affected by this, not being in a big arena for people?
That's a great question.
No idea.
Because we used to rely, many a superstar over the past years have relied on that WrestleMania check big time. I'm not saying these people are poor by any stretch of the imagination, to be clear. I'm saying that they worked their entire career to get to this because, yes, it's a spectacle. Yes, it's a Super Bowl of wrestling, right? And it's also a huge bucket check, or what do you call it? Check on the old, whatever the hell this thing is. Everybody wants to do it. That's a wrestler. Thank you. Bucket list. There we go. Sorry. Check. What the hell is it saying? It's also a huge payday. Huge.
So, man, not with giving exact numbers, but would you say of your annual salary, what do you think the average, because your annual salary is kind of commiserate with your place in the card and your standing in the company. What percent would you say this is 20% of a wrestler's annual salary?
I don't know what it is today now. I really have no clue because you guys are giving me out facts when I used to argue with you that they incredibly underpay the girls. And one of you guys gave me like some recent stats on what the girls were getting. I was like, oh my God. Like, yeah. And then I heard the rest of the rosters paid what they're getting paid. And I was like, oh my God, 500 grand for tag team wrestlers that they don't use on TV each. Like, yeah. Wow. So to put this in perspective, in 2003, Royal Rumble, I believe I got something like, I don't know, 18 grand. For Survivor Series, I could have sworn it was a shade under 30. And that's because Brock fought for all of us. We were supposed to be close to the main event, if not the main, is what we were promised, or he was promised. And so because we're attached to the Brock chain train during all of that, we all had to get paid more as well. So I don't know if that's scaled to everything now. It's probably not.
Do you know what
the network?
And do you know with inflation, 30 grand in 2003 is $42,000 in today's money?
Oh, I would have thought it'd be way more than that, than just 42.
Huh. No, 40% inflation between the last 17 years, which is interesting. I mean, that's a big chunk of change. So you got to figure with someone, if they've got a $300,000 income each year, yeah, I mean, being 10% of that, that's huge. So, and I'm sure for some people, it's 20% of their checks. So,
I mean,
but like Matt,
some of these guys get $1 million straight up.
Yeah.
But like Matt said, you know, that was back when they still got the traditional $50 a pop for a pay-per-view order. We've always, with the network situation now, I'm sure it's changed the scale.
Yeah. Man. And so I'm seeing in the chat, I actually haven't heard this rumor about Daniel Bryan, maybe not having taped Mania due to concerns. Again, if the Miz had concerns,
he's a smart man. Daniel Bryan's a smart man, dude. I don't doubt that. Good for him, if so. I respect that.
Yeah.
It's also a really big opportunity. What I was telling you guys earlier, people look at wrestlers a lot bigger than you think they do across the world, right? As legitimate real life superheroes, to step up and do something that people need to see right now, which is treat social distancing as serious as possible. It's serious as hell. Don't joke around. Don't underestimate it. Don't, oh, well, I saw this person Saturday. He's fine. Or no, treat it as serious as you can. I'm not saying to scare people. I'm saying it because you need to treat it seriously. I've seen them do forego what I'm sure is going to be a decent pay, good push or whatever. How do you not respect that and follow?
Yeah. So here's how we make lemons into lemonade. I want a segment next week on SmackDown where Drew Gulak has a PowerPoint presentation convincing Daniel Bryan why Drew Gulak should wrestle in his place against Sami Zayn at WrestleMania. And then Daniel will just be like, oh, well, you've made an excellent point, Drew. I looked at all 30 slides of your PowerPoint presentation. And yes, you should face Sami Zayn for the title at Mania.
But see, then he's a really smart guy that would not fit in his character to not avoid the obvious, which is, I'm not getting within 6 feet of another human being right now because I'm the smartest guy on this roster. And if my calculations are correct, he can have a field day on that.
But don't Drew should saying, come out.
If my calculations are correct.
But then Drew should come out and first thing, like, spray Lysol all over the ring and then, like, put on an N95, put on, like, a hazmat suit and come out. I mean, like, again, I don't think they're ready to poke
that
fun
would
at
fit him.
It would. It would. I don't know if they're ready to poke fun at it.
He's not
that
poking fun.
He's
being the smartest man on the roster, quite frankly.
We were talking about this with surprises, and again, this isn't confirmed, but Justin, we were saying how great would it be if Vince McMahon came out and did commentary. I can almost see Vince doing that. Like, you know, Vince is like, I'm old.
I would love that. I'd love to see Vince do some commentary. I mean, for any of our younger fans who never watched, you know, in the 90s, the 80s or 90s, Vince on play-by-play commentary. I mean, it became the norm because this was before it was, you know, widely known to the public that Vince was the owner and he was just the commentator, but he has a certain style that is only a Vince McMahon can. So yeah, I mean, if they're looking for ways to mask and make this WrestleMania seem as appealing and stand out, I mean, I think having him at least call maybe the two main of, you know, the two title matches, I think, you know, I don't know.
Oh God, I'm thinking about this now. Maybe this is just sort of my dark sense of humor, but I could see Drew versus Sami Zayn, and before the match, they're sitting there taking each other's temperatures and like showing it to each other and saying, give me a list of everyone you've come into contact with in the last 10 days or 14 days. And they just go through this whole checklist and then go out there and have a match. Again, I don't know if we're quite ready to laugh at this right now as a society, but that could in theory be a match that would fit both of them and actually would be very entertaining. But again, I think the timing is probably going to be bad.
Supposedly they're legit doing that, Stephanie McMahon said. They are taking the temperatures like every 2 seconds. And they are doing this the right way, to be clear. So, I mean, that's really just a shoot if they actually.
Yeah. But that's the thing. I mean, my take on it is right now, here we are, and there's what, a little over 1,000 American deaths. And yes, it's absolutely a tragic, and this is absolutely a crisis. I just think that, Matt, where we are, you know, on the curve, where 2 weeks from now, I'm just saying, or a week and a half from now, no one, I think, is going to want to be joking about any of this. And I think for perhaps for another time. So we will see what actually happens with the IC title. We talked about Ziggler and Otis. Let's talk about Elias out there singing a song for Baron Corbin. Corbin comes out. I like Elias saying the capacity crowd at the Performance Center. That was, Matt, your favorite word, that was cute. It's a cute joke to make. But what about Corbin attacking him and the hanging off the railing of the perch? Like a little cinematic all of a sudden there.
That was perfect. That was great. That was great use of a really crappy situation. And forcing the creative, something creative, and that was creative. It served its purpose. Baron Corbin is a bastard for doing what he did.
Yeah.
Just like Wednesday night, how for AEW, how I said, you know, with Matt Hardy's teleportation entrance, it's a chance to do something with some editing that you couldn't otherwise do if you had a live capacity crowd. So it's something to do. Normally we would see if there was fans in this setting, we would see Elias, we would see Baron Corbin punch Elias. Elias would fall into a crash pad of tables that's covered in a big black tarp. But instead, they played with some fun camera angles and we edited together, and it looks and sounds like Elias fell, straight back to concrete. So yeah, I mean, I think I like this. Nice touch. Nice use of the situation.
Elias hanging off the railing, like Remo Williams hanging off the Statue of Liberty. What do you think that drop was? 5 feet? But they made it look like a lot more tonight.
I've seen that perch in person. It's higher than 5 feet, but the way they shot, it still looked like Hans falling from Nakatomi. It was great.
Yes. Well, that's what I'm saying is that it is a 10-foot drop, but or a 12-foot drop, but Elias is 6 feet tall. So, you know, feet to floor, not that daunting. With that mock-up artwork of Baron Corbin on the toilet, do you think that was Photoshopped or they had him like pose for that photo?
Let's say pose. Yeah, let's say pose for it.
Oh, good Lord. Asuka versus Alexa Bliss with Nikki Cross on commentary.
This was a fun match. Fun match.
Yeah, it was a good match. Nikki Cross was worthless on commentary. No offense. But the match was really good, obviously. Asuka has hit a home run. Go back. I know you guys weren't, there's a lot of you guys that weren't as big fan of her match versus Becky as I was at the pay-per-views. At the pay-per-view, and then the follow-up Monday Night, I believe it was, that they wrestled again. But Asuka has hit a home run in every match that I want to say for the last 6 months that I've watched.
And she, to use the expression, she lays the shit in. I mean, that match she had with Natty several weeks ago on Raw, back when they were still in arenas. This was hard hitting with her and Alexa Bliss. They had some fun though, mocking each other with the dancing. And I actually was fine with Nikki Cross, just because again, it just adds noise and energy rather than it being emptiness. And I also like the fact she got Michael Cole to laugh and pop several times. She messing with Cole, which is always pretty cool to see. So yeah, this was a really good match.
Absolutely. What do you make of Alexa getting the win over Asuka tonight?
I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like Asuka ever losing.
Yeah.
So Roman Reigns versus Triple H at WrestleMania 32. Triple H giving his thoughts on Roman Reigns versus Goldberg. This is all irrelevant. I don't even think we need to talk about this. I mean, the match itself.
It was the right thing to do if this match was going to happen.
Sure.
But we're worthless now.
Yeah. Dolph Ziggler backstage with Sonya Deville. I like Mandy Rose walking up and saying that she's not the prize in this fight, that it's going to be Ziggler versus Otis, but not about her. Thought that was kind of good, but I don't know. I mean,
why'd you like that? Why'd you like that?
Because I think, I mean, I don't know. Like, I think it's corny when they make it seem like, dude, you stole my girl from me. You know, like, first off,
don't want Mandy to be treated like a piece of meat. Just say it.
Yeah. Again. Okay, here.
Stop! I'm needling him. I'm totally stirring him.
I've maybe had relations with somebody else's quote unquote girlfriend or a woman that someone
we know this story.
Their girlfriend.
We know this story. How about that, Wrestling Inc. Podcast listeners out there? Wait, we know this story, Raj. Glenn, we pay attention.
I don't know this story.
Yes, we do. Go ahead and tell him. Justin may not have been on, but I have heard this.
Wait, have I talked about this on the podcast?
Definitely.
I'm just saying, I was in a band. I lived a life. I've been yelled at before by other men who were like, dude, you stole my girlfriend. And I was like, first off, she can make her own decisions. You know, you may have thought you were going out. That's not how she represented things. I've defended this. So I'm just saying, you know, no disrespect to Otis. Oh, no, the story I have told Matt, though, because I've been on Otis's side, too. When I was a younger man, I had a crush on a girl and I obsessed. And in my head, it was like, dude, we're totally going to go out. It's going to be a thing. And it didn't happen. And like, you treat it like it's a breakup, even though you were never dating. I've been on both sides of this.
That actually, I think that's the one you shared. I think it was not this cool man who's in a rock band ratting around.
My point was, is
that's not the one that we didn't get. NWO Glenn, we did not get NWO Glenn. This is the first time I've heard it. I'm sorry,
I'm just saying those.
Corrected
my Blue Chew ads. There's some stuff drawn from some experience there and some of the trials and tribulations I had as a young man.
Start calling him Glenn Ring Rat Rubenstein.
Why no? I like Glenn WO. Man, why aren't we just going with that? I think Glenn WO is where it's at. I like Mandy sticking up for herself because in the year 2020, it is ridiculous that Mandy would just sort of sit back and be like, whatever, guys, fight over me. Like, that's not, Mandy is a strong, independent woman, and I like that they're portraying her as such, not just a prop in this feud.
Well, it's also incredibly dated.
Yes.
Like, what is this, like 1955? The only thing they were missing, if they did do it, is having them settle their differences at Arnold's at Drag Race with her wearing her pink ladies jacket and the ribbons in the air, and she makes them go down at the same time, and they both chase off in a fiery car race, and the winner gets her. Right?
Which is why Grease 2 is
ancient. That shit is.
Which is why Grease 2 is awesome, because Michelle Pfeiffer wasn't having that shit. She was standing up for herself, and she was her own woman, and a guy had to earn her affection. She wasn't just there to be fought over. That's why Grease 2 is fantastic. Johnny. Yes.
Johnny.
Yes. Johnny Nigerelli. Yes. I'm going to watch Grease 2 again this weekend. I think that's a good way to take my mind off everything.
As such a classic as the first one is, especially the album, which I may or may not still have in a collection, the second one is so damn good too.
And I think the music is better. I would rather listen to Cool Rider right now than anything off the Grease 1 soundtrack.
Okay, that is a good song.
Yes, Cool Rider reproduction.
Song.
Score tonight.
But it's tough. John Travolta was pretty freaking.
I know. I agree. You know what part of it awesome. Is? Justin, you're too young for this. Matt and I have grown up in a time where Grease was never not popular. And so I feel like Grease 2 is cooler because Grease has been Grease has literally been the word since 1977. Like, it has revival in the 90s. Like, I'm not sick of it, but I like Grease 2 because I only listen to Grease 2 when I'm in the mood to hear Grease 2. I hear Grease all the time. Like, it's always referenced.
I mean, yeah, Grease 2 is a tough find. And whenever I find somebody that sees it, I'm always generally pretty happy because not everybody has seen it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? All right, go ahead. Tell me, when you were a kid, what would you do to have a T-Bird jacket?
Oh, my God. I should order one now. They got to have those on Etsy or eBay, right?
I would kill for a T-Bird jacket back when I was a kid. I remember I used to ask my mom for it.
I bought 3 different versions of the Grease 2 physical script just to get access to like 3 scenes that got cut from the movie during production. Like, because I was that curious about like deleted scenes from Grease 2.
Like, really quick. I know Roger doesn't like this, but tell me real quick, what were they?
I mean, it was mostly like Michael and Frenchie. Like, Frenchie helped him a little more with the Cool Rider persona and like coaching him on what to do. But the other one, and this is critical, remember at the end when Stephanie thinks that Michael is dead and gone to biker heaven and she does the talent show and it's a surprise that Michael's alive.
That was a good song. In the original, that was a good song too, by the way. Good song.
I have some thoughts about that song in a second, but in the script, Stephanie runs into Michael before the talent show. So the audience, we know that Michael is alive still. They took that scene out, so we have that little suspense when he shows back up at the luau at the end.
Oh.
Yes. Huh. So here's the weirdest part, and screw it, Raj, if you're listening. This is my chance to talk about this, Matt, because you just gave props to the song Turn Back the Hands of Time, the song that Stephanie has her nervous breakdown and sings and visualizes her head. Here's the weirdest part. It's in the middle of a talent show. They're doing Girl for All Seasons. Stephanie has her breakdown, starts singing Turn Back the Hands of Time. In her head, she's seeing Biker Heaven, and Michael is like calling her and singing with her. So the audience at that talent show is just sitting there while Stephanie is having a nervous breakdown, singing to herself, and then waiting out long periods of silence that they can't hear all of Michael's parts. And it must have been the most uncomfortable school assembly ever.
I must have been too young to pick up on any of that because I thought it was perfectly normal. In retrospect, now that I think back, I think I was too busy featuring my attention on the girl that was playing the tree behind her in while she was singing that.
Oh, like they're all like consoling her. Stephanie, are you okay? No, Stephanie, seriously, do you need a counselor? Yes. Do you need to go to the hospital? Can I get you a blanket? What's going on here? This is, by the way, the most Grease 2 anyone's talked about in America, at least this week. I think we're setting a record here tonight.
I will agree with that, yes.
Yes. Anyhow, go rent Grease 2 this weekend. I guarantee you, if you've never seen it, you're in for a treat. Man, now we have to go talking about SmackDown again. But here's the good news. We get to talk about perhaps the high point of SmackDown tonight, which was the Firefly Funhouse. And Bray Wyatt making his shake, having it out with Ramblin' Rabbit, and putting Rabbit in the blender, and then challenging Cena to a Firefly Funhouse match at WrestleMania.
This was smart. I thought this was smart. Usually I don't like that people can somehow get into that world, because to me, my interpretation, I always said I felt it different than others. I think everybody has their own interpretation of this Firefly Funhouse. That's what makes it so cool. And I didn't like when Seth Rollins got in there. I hated the fact that Seth Rollins somehow was able to get in there. It killed the coolness factor for me and the mystique part of it. So, but now that it's happened, right, he's already jumped the shark in that regard. So if Cena needs to get in there to get his ass kicked, cool, I'm all for it.
I think it's going to be the match of Mania weekend, just if they get really creative with this and give it the spirit of the Firefly Funhouse.
Yeah, I mean, you put this on one night, you put it on the opposite night that you're going to have the Boneyard match between Styles and Undertaker. You don't want to have two of these matches on the same night. This is one advantage on having two nights, is that you know if you're going to get creative and do these out of the arena type situations, you know, put them on separate nights. But
you know what my hope is for this? I hope Ramblin' Rabbit is on commentary, and oh my God, Justin, this is the one that they bring Vince McMahon out for. Vince McMahon does commentary as the caricature Vince, maybe even wears the devil horns in the Firefly.
Well, I mean, it's all going to be in post editing, so they could pull it off if they wanted to, you know, they could definitely do that. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'll be very interested to see how they shoot this, you know, like we talked about it, just in a much smaller way with the Elias Baron Corbin being able to take advantage of having an empty crowd and do some editing and make it seem like, you know, it's Hans falling from Nakatomi and make it seem real dramatic. They could get real cinematic and real fun here with this between Bray and Cena if they choose. But again, I like it. Like I said earlier, I like the fact you keep Undertaker, you keep The Fiend, you keep these characters out of an empty arena situation.
Brad Stevens, $4.99 super chat, saying Glenn and Matt talking about Grease 2 is the winner on Never Thought I Would Hear This Bingo. This is like the third or fourth
time we've talked about. Yeah, we have, and I probably lost at least 200, 500 followers on Twitter tonight, but it's okay, and it was worth it.
And the best thing is that it started with Matt trying to goat Glenn down a feminist rope. That's the best part of it.
Oh, he was gutsy. He was trying to do his best to mind his P's and Q's to not open up that can of worm conversation because he wanted to move on. But we got him into it.
Yeah.
Glenn, how offended would you be if it was Mandy Rose on a pole match? And that's what they're fighting over.
Oh, Glenn would he would combustibly implode right on scene.
Here we go. How's this for a woke statement? Oh, if boy. It was her idea and she suggested it, and then you know, maybe it could kind of work. They could do something with it that would be, and I've said this before, if the turn of all this is, I will literally stand up and applaud if the end of this is, after the fight, Otis goes over at Mania and goes to Mandy and goes, so now we go out with me, and Mandy goes, you know what, I'm done with both of you, and walks off arm in arm with Sonya Deville, I will stand up and applaud in my living room if that is the payoff to this match.
Doesn't that feel like so many movies we've seen? Where
sure.
She doesn't pick either guy.
No, I'm saying she picks Sonya, and they go with that storyline.
Oh, romantically.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. Being for shock value that they had the insinuation that Lana and Liv Morgan had a relationship and then never mention it again. And I know for a fact they told commentary, don't say anything about them having a relationship. It was just for that shock value for that wedding segment in the end of December. So, I doubt they do that. I think your money shot here is Otis getting to have his kiss with Mandy Rose. That's your money shot here at Mania.
Oh. All right, well, here's the deal. Like, No, this is what I think is stupid, is that, like, WWE is going to be, like, literally 20 years behind the time. Because the rest of us, when we see, like, the storyline with Lana and what's-her-name, nobody's like, oh, It was a girl she did this with. Oh my God, I can't believe it. I'm shocked. Nobody was saying that or thinking that. So what do you think it's going to, when they're finally really ready to explore this type of storyline, it's going to be like 10 years.
Yeah.
Going to use it as shock and actually get shock value out of it. It's just going to be like, and I think most people were like that with this. Like, okay, this is cool for Liv Morgan. We're excited for Liv Morgan. But none of us are like,
yeah,
they had a lesbian relationship together. Nobody thought that.
Yeah.
No one was like instead, though, just by that or shocked by that. Sorry.
Yeah.
I think you're right, Joseph. This could be like the end of the movie Angus. And Mandy's
Now that's an obscure movie reference I can follow.
Matt never saw Angus.
Of course, like, you could. No.
1995, 96.
Yeah,
it's about larger kid who ends up, who's picked on and then ends up, like, spoiler alert, the like girl he likes ends up asking him to walk her home from a dance.
It was
very much this storyline.
It was very much 1995 TBS dinner in a movie.
Yeah.
And they would do those things on TBS.
Good soundtrack, though. Great Green Day.
Yeah, Green Day, all about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyhow, I predict the payoff to Otis, Mandy, and Dolph will not be as good as the payoff to the movie Angus. What about tonight? The New Day versus the Usos with the Miz and Morrison on commentary. We got that promo from the New Day before this. We had this match and the big idea with Miz and Morrison attacking Big E and the New Day winning by DQ is that Miz and Morrison are told, you're not going to have to face one of these teams at Mania. You're going to have to face both of these teams at Mania. And then the New Day taking out Miz and Morrison as the Usos look on. So this match is going to change.
That's what we're under the impression that it is going to change. And we have to wait in the next 7 days to find out how they're going to do that.
Now Jomo gets a world title shot at Goldberg. No way. Right?
No.
Yeah.
Probably not.
All right. I just wanted to put it in the universe one time.
Yeah. I mean, this segment was cool. This match was cool. But, I mean, New Day versus the Usos in Mania, you can't go wrong with that.
And that's going to be a great match, but we have seen this a million times, yeah. And they're always great. You're correct. They're always good. They never disappoint. You're right.
Yeah, well, why don't we bring back Brazango, the fashion police, just to make it really old school, like 3 years ago.
I am banning you from reading on other news sites and the like while we are trying to communicate doing this podcast, Glenn.
What? That I was kidding about...
No, you were looking at something else for sure.
I was closing a tab and I was getting ready to show you something that was going to make you smile. He's trying to tee up something to give Matt Morgan.
He's not paying attention to me. He has no clue what I even said.
You said that we've seen this before. It's going to be great, but we've seen it before.
Ah, I take that back.
Yes. Also, I can often predict what you're going to say. I had this idea once. When I have downtime, I'm going to do this. Matt, I've even bought an app for my iPad that's like a soundboard, and I was just going to go back to episodes and find sound clips of you saying things. Like, I could watch these guys go all day. And I was going to just sit there when you're not here and play those sound clips like you were on the podcast.
That's easy. All right, let's cue it right now. Go.
No, I don't have it set up, unfortunately, or else I would do it right now.
Use your voice.
I'd be like, Matt, what do you think about New Day versus the Usos? Be like, I could watch these guys wrestle all day. Like, see, right there. So it's like Matt Morgan was here.
Really ran with that.
I know. And just you caught me off guard, Matt. Like, if some of our fans, some of the fans of the Wrestling Inc. podcast, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go back through these shows and find your favorite Matt Morgan sound bites. I'm going to put those on the iPad. And the night when Matt's not here, we're going to have virtual Matt Morgan.
There are definitely a lot of repetitive things I'll say, though, for sure. No question.
Oh, all of us. We could probably auto-generate this entire show most weeks because WWE sure likes to repeat a match now and again. You know? It would be very simple.
I don't know why we expect to have a different... Why would we have a different reaction?
No, not at all. So I was going to show you, Matt, when I was teeing up.
Yeah.
Ryback shared this, the cover art for his podcast with Raj this week, is this photo of Ryback and Raj, Raj back on pool lounge chairs, just lounging in the pool together.
He showed it.
Yeah, that's what Ryback used as the cover art for this podcast, the episode art.
Wow, we've made Raj a star. This is completely backfired on us. This is completely backfiring on us. Folks, you need to be much more funnier in your memes. They can't enjoy them. They need to be, I don't know what it is, not angry, but embarrassed by them. Not be using it on their podcast covers.
I think Ryback has a good sense of humor, although one of my favorite Ryback, Ryback memories...
This is all Raj. This is, to be clear, this is all Raj. Ryback, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Guy great that they can bring all
this. No, I love that episode. What was it? Table for Three with Ryback and Daniel Bryan and Dolph Ziggler, and Ryback sitting there calling Daniel Bryan a bully, basically, for all these, like, mean things. Like, it's all Daniel Bryan making fun of Ryback in the entire episode. It's one of the best Table for Threes they've ever done. Highly recommend it. Okay. What else do we got? What else we got to talk tonight after tonight's mostly irrelevant SmackDown?
I'll give you two other news items. One is the viewership from Wednesday. AEW wins again. They drew 819,000 viewers, and that was better than the 669,000 that NXT got, and that is the lowest NXT viewership for its first run episode since it has moved to USA on Wednesdays.
Wow.
So there's that.
I'm surprised by all this because, listen, there's nothing else to watch on TV. I'm really surprised that these numbers aren't better, to be honest.
Yeah, and you can say the same thing about Monday Night Raw. You know, Raw had, you know, you think, you know, oh, there's nothing else live to watch, even entertainment wise. You know, like, but Raw, it was the most severe drop from hour one to hour three. I just think, unfortunately, you're not getting much of what you have to. You're not getting anything that's like must see right now, and it's a situation. We appreciate the wrestlers doing what they can do, risking their health, as we've said on this podcast, but. It's just a tough, tough time. But, I mean, AEW still garnering one of their better viewership numbers despite not having the crowd. So, they got, as we talked about Wednesday, they got a lot of things on the hook. And one of the things that AEW has on the hook we talked about on Wednesday night was, of course, Brody Lee as the Exalted One. He had his first match. Brody Lee came out. Brody did a – he guest appeared on Talk is Jericho, Chris Jericho's podcast. You guys can go on Wrestling Inc. There's some transcribed quotes. But one of the things that we talked about was Jericho and Brody Lee sharing stories of the sensitivity of Vince McMahon when he's eating. And Brody talks about how, you know, he tried to pitch ideas and he'd wait until Vince was done eating. He'd be told that he's done eating and then Vince is eating again and Vince ignores his ideas. And just, it's very funny if you go back and listen to the clips or read the transcription of them talking about, you know, you have to catch Vince at the right time because if he's distracted by a good or bad cow.
Where can we listen to this?
Talk is Jericho's on all the major podcast platforms, I believe. And then, like I said, Wrestling Inc., we have transcription of a lot of these quotes on the site, on the main page right now. So,
can you send me the link? Would you mind sending me a link to the one I can listen to?
I can do that. I'll text it to you.
Steve Marcuccilli with the Super Chat saying, Matt, did you ever have a one-on-one taker match?
Hell no. Oh, my God. I would have been able to die the next day and be a happy man. That was my guy growing up. Well, first it was Hulk. And then when I got into college, I was all about Undertaker. Man. Yeah, I wish. I wish. He was hurt. He was injured when I got called up at first to SmackDown. And then he was coming back and he started working house shows. And I was able to get in the ring with him at house shows and do these blow-up drills. You want to see somebody who knows how to run the ropes correctly and at like 100 mile an hour speed? It's Undertaker. Holy mackerel. He invented this very famous blow up drill. You guys don't know what blow up drill is. When you're blown up in the ring, that means you're just blown up sky high. You're out of oxygen. The guy you're wrestling with went at a way too fast, frenetic pace. And now the match is screwed because you're sucking gas when you're not supposed to be. Shows you making reactions and facial expressions and selling and telling the story of the match. So anyways, you want to be in great cardio shape. But Taker has the best cardio on the planet. And he does these special drills. So I got to go overseas on a tour that he was on. And again, working in the ring with him beforehand. But yeah, never got to work with the guy one-on-one. Got to work with Glenn, which was a great learning experience. Kane, which was a great learning experience for me. He was probably my second favorite growing up, ironically. I liked always the big, I liked the big, tall, athletic guy. So I liked shorter. I went Taker, then Kane, and then Nash. But as far as the overall characters, it was a kind of a tie between Nash and Taker. So I thought Nash was really cool and funny. And Taker, I just dug how freaking athletic dude was.
Yeah. Justin, back to the reaction in terms of WWE. Are these rumors true about Vince and WWE's reaction to the Brody Lee sketch?
I didn't talk to anybody specifically about it. Yeah, the report is that there was people upset, people, you know, close to Vince and that are very much Team WWE. They were upset about, you know, they think that, you know, Brody's taking too many shots or just unnecessary shots at Vince. I don't know. I haven't asked anybody. I can't say for sure. But I don't know.
That sounds a little weak. They would not be registering this.
Yeah, like I said, there's
no way they would register this.
Yeah, I haven't. I can't speak to it. Don't know.
You immediately give them, hang on, I'll give you one in a second. They would give them instant credibility by doing that. The best thing to do is not sell it at all. Act like it doesn't even happen because I don't watch that crap show. That's what my reaction would be. Anyways, it's not what I'm saying if I was WWE. Chris Thompson, $1.99 super chat. That's all I'm worth to you, Chris Thompson. I'm just joking. Chris Thompson. He asks, Matt, what's your best Vince story? Have you not been paying attention? The entire sell job of the stuttering gimmick. Easily that. Definitely that. Where, you know, I did remind Mr. McMahon that just months earlier I was a part of Team Lesnar talking just fine. Sir, how are we gonna explain it to the fans? Don't worry about the fans. I tell the fans what to feel and what to think. Okay, that's good times.
Justin LeBar, can we get a little reenactment of what it must have been like, Vince McMahon pitching this genius stuttering gimmick to Mr. Matt Morgan?
Matt Morgan.
Oh, wait, no. hang on. Let me tee him up as Matt Morgan first. I'll be Matt Morgan. You're Vince McMahon, Justin. All right. But Mr. McMahon, with all due respect, I know you're a creative genius, and I'm happy to be here. You say jump, I say how high, sir. With that said, I do want to just remind you, I did graduate college magna cum laude with a degree in public speaking and communication. Talking's my deal. It's my thing. I just want to put that out there.
Matt Morgan, you big son of a bitch. Magnum cum, whatever. This is the WWE. We tell stories. I tell stories. You and I, we tell stories. We tell them what to hear. And they're going to hear it. They're going to feel it. You are the blueprint, Matt Morgan. It just prints money.
He did actually do the stutter for me.
Did he?
Also, he definitely did. I forgot. He won't ask you to do something he himself wouldn't do. That's a true statement about him, everybody says is true. But listen, I forgot to always tell you the guys this part of the story, I think. Did I tell you why he wanted to do this? I think I've told you that he wanted to do this to put this on Brock Lesnar at one point, if you can imagine that. And my backhanded compliment to me was that he didn't feel the other big guys that he wanted to do something like this with would be confident enough to be able to pull this off. I'm confident enough to be able to pull it off. You know, so I don't know if that was a way to get like, ooh, okay, I'm in, or thanks for the compliment, or, and this is what he also did. The way he explained it to me, he's like, you need to have an Achilles heel. You can't just be perfect. That doesn't work. You need to have an Achilles heel, and you know, you know what I mean by that? You look like you don't know what I mean by that. I'm like, I do. Cockiness seemed to work for a lot of different wrestlers over the years. Miss Perfect, you know, get too far ahead of yourself. That's your banana peel, proverbial banana peel you slip on eventually at the end of the match, being too ahead of yourself. If you have a 7-foot guy doing shooting star press off the top rope, nobody's home, he looks like a dope doing it and got too ahead of himself, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, But no, if you're Achilles, you have to have an Achilles heel that's bigger than that. He goes, now tell me, have you ever been to like a bar before, like a nightclub, and see this really just gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous woman? And, you know, you finally get the nerve and you walk up to her and you introduce yourself to her. And she turns around and she has a really deep voice. And I said, no, sir, that's never happened ever in my lifetime. I can say that's never happened. Nope, not once. Well, that's what this is like. Perfect being, and you have this imperfection. Swear to Christ. Go back to my really like old school like interviews online with different sites and shit, websites, and you'll see that this story holds true. That's how he sold this to me.
Yeah. I could have been worse, Matt. He could have said like you could have had a really high voice. You know? Like
well, that's actually a great
no, but like but the woman with a really deep voice, I know. And I'm like, no, not with a man's voice. I can't say I ever had that experience a day in my life, sir. No. I don't understand that. No.
So that actually segues into just a cheap plug to an interview I did on here for Wrestling Inc. That's you can just search in Wrestling Inc. A couple weeks ago, I interviewed Connor, who was formerly in the Ascension, and Connor had been with the WWE and then back into the FCW for over a decade. And Connor tells a story. Talk about great Vince stories. He tells a story of Vince pitching him, wanting Connor to talk. He thinks Connor looks like it, wants Connor to talk like a rat. And if you go back, you can find the old promos of this. And Vince is trying to get him to talk real nasally. And again, if you enjoy the Vince stories, this interview with Connor and I, it's a blast because like we really dive into Vince stories and the interactions he had. So you can get on Wrestling Inc. here to search for it. But it's a great thing.
He was
Matt's talking.
Scary looking. He was freaky looking when he had to pull that character off, I thought.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Matt, I found a link for the Jericho podcast. Do you have an iPhone?
Yeah, please send it.
If I text it to you right now, is it going to bump you off of this right now?
No, unless I go on. I will. Yeah, just send it.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. So what's next?
Terrence Whitted with $2 saying Randy Orton versus Stone Cold. Who goes over? Like,
wait,
who wins?
They're not wrestling.
I don't know.
Okay, I'll play Stone Cold. Stone Cold. Stone Cold.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. I got nothing else.
We're done.
Back here Monday night. Me, Matt Morgan, Raj Geary, unless he cons Justin Labar into taking his place.
I'll take the money.
Which he will.
Oh, yeah. Hey, let's cost Raj Geary some money because he didn't respond on Twitter, Matt. Should we, on his behalf, go with the suggestion of what we had from one of our awesome fans about what to do on our April 1st podcast to raise some money? Remember the tweet?
Oh, for Culture City.
Yeah, in honor of World Autism Day on April 2nd. What about on April 1st, if we have all the super chats in this podcast, if we commit Raj Geary right now to donating that money to Culture City in honor of World Autism Day?
Please, I can set the direct link up to actually give it to the organization. They'll actually put it to good use. You know, there would be no middleman included. So all your money legitimately really would be going to good cause. Those of you that don't know what Culture City is, it's an organization. You've seen it with AEW, but other venues throughout the country, they help kids like my son, Jackson, who's nonverbal autistic, have an opportunity to be able to enjoy a show, but while still being able to go in a sensory inclusive room to calm down during meltdowns, because big crowds, spaces, and loud noises absolutely crush them at times. So I totally love this company. They do great work. Dominique Wilkins, of all people, reached out to me to be a part of that group to help out. I thought that was nice. Epic. One of my favorite basketball players of all time in the 80s, you know, just randomly reaches me on Twitter and then calls. I thought that was awesome. Culture City, spelled with a K. They are the shit. Thank you to the fan that made the suggestion. I believe it's Carolyn. That we should put our Super Chat money towards that. And let's, when do you want to do it, Glenn?
Let's do it Wednesday during AEW. Let's do this coming Wednesday, AEW and NXT. Let's do it there. And I believe, Matt, I have to imagine, you know, one thing the Culture City puts together are these kits. I mean, obviously now, you know, not the live events.
Yes, they do.
But they put these kits and I have a feeling that these free kits that they provide to autistic children are probably more valuable than ever in this time when you have kids on the spectrum who are at home in COVID-19. You know, they're on lockdown. They are not able to adhere to their routines. And I would bet these kits are a lot more in need now in the homes of all parents that are dealing with children affected by this.
It's a really good point. In fact, check your local zoos. I bet you Culture City already has bags there, the free bags that they give you to give your child while there. And all these other different epic, like sporting events and any public places for that matter. And in these bags, these free gift bags they give, have what do you call it? noise canceling headphones, little knick-knack games to play. My kid never plays with them, but lots of them, most of the autistic kids do. What do you call, Glenn, those little fidget games?
Like the fidget spinners
in their hands.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you. Things of that nature. But they do a great job, and that's a really good call, though, Glenn. My kid's completely off his structured everyday plan. This kid knows everything that we're doing from the moment we wake up in order. Everything. Mm-hmm. It has to be in order, or he loses it for at least an hour. So you can imagine what it's like not having his normal schooling happening right now. So that's a great call, Glenn, about being able to extend these maybe to people in their home while their kids are having to endure this. That's a good call.
Yeah, it can't be easy. So we're just going to say on Raj's behalf, we know Raj Geary is a stand-up guy, and he didn't get to reply to that tweet yet. But yes. Matt and I are going to commit him. You know, I think we're on the Wrestling Inc. podcast. We're going to speak for Raj.
We are.
We'll do it.
Yes, we are. We're doing it.
And say that Wednesday, April 1st.
We are doing it.
And I think he'll be so overjoyed when we surprise him with this news publicly on Monday. But I know he's going to be on board. So Monday night, me, Raj, Matt Morgan. In fact, Matt, I'm going to go a step further. Everyone, save your Super Chat money Monday night. I want to see no Super Chats on Monday night. You save that for Wednesday night because all that money is going to Culture City.
That's amazing. But Glenn, a lot of them do that because they want to hear their question answered. So how do they get
all you have to do? Well, Matt, I know you love this, but I'm going to pay extra attention Monday to the chat. And I try and do this anyhow. I try and put on comments anyhow. So I'm going to pay extra attention. Tyler Martino, for instance, just saying right now, speak for Raj! ! Yes, I am. Okay. We're going to do our best to include that. And again, I apologize. I'm always trying to get more comments on screen. Sometimes it's Super Chat stand out because they're highlighted, but Monday I'm going to make an extra effort. And then Wednesday, let's raise some money for Culture City in anticipation of World Autism Day. And we'll catch you back here Monday night on the Wrestling Inc. podcast. Take care.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.